Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. Many of us have been cooped up in our homes as we collectively ride out this pandemic. But the stay-at-home order doesn't necessarily mean that you need to stay inside. And for those of us who are living with kids, getting out in the garden can be a great way to get rid of some energy and exercise their creativity. Melinda Myers is a gardening expert and the author of Midwest Gardener's Handbook and Small Space Gardening, among many other titles. She joins me now to talk about gardening projects for kids of all ages. Melinda Myers, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Hey, it's great to be chatting with you. So many people are in gardening, so it's a very good time to be talking gardening with you.
It is. How are you doing right now, being stuck at home as a gardener?
Luckily, the weather's been okay, so I've been able to start some seeds indoors. I've been still doing some winter sowing, and I've been doing some cleanup. My asparagus is just peeking through the ground. I got that area weeded and cleaned up, the dead material removed, so there's hope. Spring is on the way. I miss all my activities with gardeners, though. Spring is the time I'm out and about, and I get to meet people and hear what they're doing, and I so miss that personal contact like so many of us do.
Yeah, how have you been using your time in general, and how are other gardeners using this time at home, which is both a blessing and a curse?
Exactly. I was just talking to someone. We were sharing how we like to shop at garden centers. We like to meander up and down the aisles and see what's new and different. And, you know, you come with a list, but you always end up buying more than you take home. Well, now a lot of garden centers are open because they're selling essentials, food plants, herb plants, but a lot of them are doing call ahead, curbside pickup, or delivery just to keep everyone safe, or limiting your time in the garden center. So you really can't do that wandering. So I've been trying to do a better job of planning, you know, going over my garden list. Okay, what do I really need? What do I want? What do I really need? And then luckily, if you have a good relationship with the garden center, I work with Ebert's Greenhouse Village, and they know me. So when I shop there, I go, okay, what's new, what's cool, what's different I need? So that's on my list. Just put some cool different things you know I want to grow. And so if you have a good relationship with your local garden center, and if they can, I mean, time is going to be very challenging these days. Everybody wants to get plants and wants to get what they want and pick their own. But if you have a good relationship, you might be able to say, hey, I need some yellow flowers for a sunny area. Surprise me. You know, if you like to try new things. If you don't, then be very specific. I want yellow zinnias because I have sunshine and I want low maintenance and I want the butterflies to come. You know, so the more specific we can be and the more time we spend planning, and make planning fun. If you have kids at home, get out the catalogs, get out the pictures, the crayons, have the kids help you plan the garden. You know, what do you like to eat? Draw pictures of your vegetables you like to eat. You know, and there are purple carrots out there. So if they draw purple carrots, guess what? You can grow them for them. And then the other thing is to go through your garage and your basement and your shed and look for items that you might be heading to the recycling center eventually, or, you know, getting rid of or throwing away. Maybe they could be a good container. You know, I save the cylinder that Easter eggs came in, and I drilled some holes in the bottom. I'm growing long carrots in just for fun. And cool season crops like beets, carrots, and radishes are good to plant right now. I have some old toys of my grandkids and drilled holes in the bottom of this little wagon, and I've grown greens in it before. One year when my granddaughter was little, I started too early though, and she came over to visit, and she goes, "That's my wagon, Grandma." But luckily the handle was intact so she could pull it around with the greens. Now she's 12, she doesn't care. But, you know, a good memory. So might be some ways to do that. And pansies, oh, they're the happy spring flower. You can't look at a pansy, right, and not smile. So looking for those plants that take the cool weather. Wait for your tomatoes and peppers. I talked to a few garden centers that said, yep, people want to plant their tomatoes. And it's still pretty cold, so you'll be doing a second crop of tomatoes if you plant now. So wait for those until it gets warmer, the end of May and early June. Prepare your garden. And then look at your landscape. There's a lot you can do in your landscape. You know, last year we had so much rain and a lot of people experienced flooded basements and problems. And then we have droughts when we either have too much or not enough rain. If you've got a rain barrel, get the kids busy painting. You know, it's a great way to dress up that rain barrel. The kids will have fun and some ownership. And it helps them understand the water, the rainfall hits the roof, runs off. It goes in this rain barrel that they can then use to water their flowers in their garden. So it's a good good lesson. Fresh Coast Guardians has great ideas on their website of ways to keep water where it falls and out of our basement. My grandson is a great digger. We were putting mulch down one time, and every time I'd look, he was jumping up and down, and I thought, oh, he'll never get his mulch in place. Lo and behold, he had spread it faster than my granddaughter and I working together did. He loves to dig holes. So if you've got projects where you need some digging, you might have the right kid in your family. Give them a shovel. Work off that energy. You know, it helps them be focused. If they've been inside and schoolwork is a challenge because you're the teacher now, hey, send them outside for some gardening and a little time with nature.
You mentioned, of course, kids are doing school at home right now, but some kids really aren't getting the same kind of mental stimulation that you might when you go to school. What are some good gardening projects that will really get them engaged in those kinds of mental exercises?
You know, that's a great question. And gardening is wonderful because you can use math skills, art skills, scientific skills, all those things related to watching plants grow and starting them from seed. So starting plants from seeds is usually an activity they do in the classroom. I don't know if you did it, but I think everybody I talked to started the beans with a paper towel in the jar, right? And you watch how it grew and the roots grew. Well, microgreens are an edible version of that. So you buy microgreen or sprouting seeds, plant them, and you harvest them using scissors in 10 days. So you get to eat the harvest. So you see the seeds sprout and grow. You can even pull them out by the roots, rinse off the soil. KidsGardening.org is a free website, and they have classroom projects and family projects for kids. And they really teach science and nutrition. So plant science, nutrition, environmental issues. And they're activities that are planned for families and teachers to use. So everything, here's what you need, here's what you need to do, and here's how you can keep it involved. I like doing microgreens. I like planting radishes because they're quick. You get fast results. So you don't have to wait forever for that tomato. Plant those too, but if you have something that keeps the kids excited, greens. You know, my partner, he doesn't like his vegetables too well, but I've been growing greens under LED lights for the last 2 months and harvesting, and he thinks those are the best salads he's ever eaten. So, you know, if you grow it, they're more likely to eat it. And it's not just the kids and the family that you may need to train. And then how about doing some plant markers? You know, get out the paints, have kids write the name of the plant so you're working on your spelling. Take some old rocks, paint pictures of the vegetables or flowers. And again, write the name so you practice your letters and your spelling. And then plant some seeds of flowers. Marigolds and zinnias are popular. They bloom 8 weeks after you plant the seeds. They're easy to grow. We've all probably done it for Mother's Day. I know sometimes the teacher kind of goes out and buys marigolds if they have a crop failure, but those are some fun things. And then think of art projects that go along with it. If you do have flowers, flower pounding is fun. Take those pansies, a couple flowers, put them on a piece of paper, pound it with a rock or a hammer. Be careful the age of the children that are doing the pounding. And that'll leave a colorful imprint on that paper. Make it into a card. Send it off to someone. You know, make someone's day. Share some of that beauty as well. So then they'll practice lettering, how to send a letter, where a stamp goes, some of those return address, depending on the age of the children and how much exposure they've had.
If you do have older kids, what are some activities that are good for someone who is maybe in older middle school or in high school?
You know, a couple things. Planning a garden. You know, measure out the space, put them in charge. Okay, you've got this space, or hey, we're going to grow vegetables this summer, and here's the area. Measure it out. Calculate how many plants we need. You know, what do you have them? Put them in charge. The only problem with putting the kids in charge is you better live with their decision unless you can kindly direct them the way you want. But you know what? Maybe you'll have, 1 year my daughter, when she was younger, grew popcorn, and we lived in the city. There really wasn't space for that. We had just a small basket full. We ended up popping it in the microwave. It was a fun adventure. Not the most productive, but it was a memorable event. She got to learn a little bit about different types of corn and different types of vegetables. It's Arbor Day. You know, Arbor Day is the last Friday in April, but it should be celebrated all year long. It's not only about planting a tree, it's also about taking care of a tree. Maybe they can do some research. You know, what kind of care does a tree need? If you're going to add a tree, have them research what plants would do well in Wisconsin. What kind of growing conditions do you have in your yard? Monitor the sunlight throughout the day. They'll be amazed to see when those leaves come up, oh, it's a lot shadier than it was before. And it's not just children and young adults that have that issue. We all get busy and we forget to watch how our environment changes. So monitoring the environment. If you can go around your neighborhood and their trees, do some bark rubbings. And then as the trees start to leaf out, see if you can identify the trees in the neighborhood. I think we're going to be growing some good horticulturists here after all of this, because more and more people that are stuck inside are looking for ways to get outside and relate to the environment. National Geographic has a safari, COVID-19 safari, where everybody's supposed to research animals and put pictures in their windows. You're probably seeing more chalk art in the neighborhood and pictures in people's windows. We could do the same with plants, create a garden in the windows as well. On my Facebook, we've been doing daily tips, and I'm trying to find things that are affordable and projects that you have most, if not all, of the materials at home, because we're supposed to stay safer at home. A lot of us, our budgets have gotten a lot tighter since many of us aren't working full-time or in the same pay grade or at all. And so trying to help people find activities for all ages that they can afford to do together or by themselves.
Well, and one of the things that I've seen a lot of people more interested in is growing things from what we'd essentially call kitchen scraps, things like the bottom of celery or lettuces.
Oh, exactly. And that's a fun thing to do. If you have sweet potatoes grow, they have a growing point at the top. So you save the top, plant that either directly in soil, or you could put toothpicks in water like you do an avocado seed, and then it'll grow into a vine. I did that just a few years ago. My excuse is it was for a tip, but it was fun to do. Your potatoes, occasionally I find one growing in my pantry, cut it into pieces. And that would be fun if there are several of you in the family. Have a contest. See whose grows first and biggest, you know. Celery, you're right. Take that bottom of the celery and plant it, maybe an onion. Kitchen scrap gardening has been around a long time. Some people do it and plan on eating the results. It won't feed a family of four, but boy, it's a lot of fun. You'll have some free plants from those scraps and you put them to work. Or the other thing you can do is use them for printing. Use them as a print block. So cut that pepper in half, maybe one that's going bad or just a slice, dip it in some paint and press it onto paper or fabric. And it's a great way to create some artwork as well.
All right, well, Melinda Myers, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect, sharing some of your tips, and hopefully you're staying safe.
You too. Thanks so much, Joy, and good luck to everybody as they start a garden for the first or 100th time.
Melinda Myers is an expert in all things gardening and a regular Lake Effect contributor. You can find more of our monthly conversations at wuwm.com. Lake Effect will continue in just a moment on Milwaukee's NPR.